Well, did you come ready for the Word of God here tonight? Oh, I'm going to ask again because I've only got a couple of you. Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight? Yes. I tell you what, it's the measure that we meet the Word, Jesus said. You know, as we hear His Word, the measure that we meet it, it will be measured back to us, meaning the level of attentiveness, the level of energy, you know. And sometimes it's not that we're just trying to put on a false excitement, but if we're not interested in what the Bible has to say, you know, then we'll lose out, and we don't want to lose out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Go to chapter 11. And tonight, I'm going to call this message, "The Holy Ghost Will Use Your Words." The Holy Ghost will use your words. And so let's go ahead and go all the way back to Genesis chapter 11. And we're going to start right there in verse 1. And what we're going to do here is we're going to begin by looking at the significance of language. The significance of language. And when I say language, of course we know that language would include words. I'm not talking about just different, you know, human languages in terms of just English, but I'm talking about the significance of what we say. You know, the words that we speak, you know, the purpose that we put in how we talk. And we've got to always be reminded of this truth, that it matters what we say, because God cannot go beyond our own words. He told the Israelites back there in Numbers chapter 14, He said, "For as you have spoken in my ear, that is what I will do." Right? Amen. And so we know that words have power. The scripture tells us over there in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat the fruit thereof, right? Proverbs chapter 13 tells us that a man will eat good by the words of his mouth. And so we're told this over and over. Jesus said in Mark chapter 11 and verse 23, He said, "For you will have whatsoever you say." And we could go on. There's just hundreds of scriptures in the Bible that tell us about the significance of the words that we speak. Now, tonight, we're going to take a little step further and really start looking deep in how God uses language. How God uses language. And when I say that, I'm talking about the words that you and I speak. Now, go over to Genesis chapter 11. And we're going to start in verse 1. And we're going to read in the Amplified Bible again. If you don't have an Amplified Bible, it's just a great study reference Bible that brings out the original meaning of the languages. You know that the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek. They're languages that are a little bit more sophisticated than English. And sometimes, you know, the Amplified just really kind of digs deep into some of this. And so I'm going to read in the Amplified, and I have my parallel Bible here. I've got a King James Bible on one side, an Amplified on the other. And so to get two Bibles in here, they got to make the words really small. So it's time for the readers, right? These are this is how I see into the Spirit right here. Praise the Lord. praise God. Go over to Genesis 11. I'm reading in the Amplified. You can follow along on the screen if you'd like, or if you have your Bible, it'll be very, very similar. It says this. This is, of course, way, way back in history. And it says, "The whole earth was of one language." Everyone say one language. And the Amplified Bible includes this, "and of one accent and mode of expression." So there's one language. And it says, "And as they journeyed eastward," now remember, this is going all the way back in history when mankind was located in just one place together on the earth. This is going way back. You know, I was reading, you know, some excerpts. I thought this was really interesting. A lot of language experts agree that all humanity must have come from one language. Just really interesting stuff. Well, we already knew that. God already told us a long time ago. But it's neat when you see, you know, some academic folks learn it eventually too, right? Praise God, all right? And when it says they, it's talking about the people on the earth at the time. They were all together in one place. They had one language. And it says, "And as they journeyed eastward, they found a plain, a valley in the land of Shinar, and they settled and dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly.'" That means make them strong. "So they had brick for stone and slime or bitumen for mortar. All right, so they were building this thing. And it says in verse 4, and they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower whose top reaches into the sky. If you're reading in the King James Bible, it says, let us build a tower that'll reach into the heavens or into heaven. It's not talking about God's heaven. It's not talking about where God lives. It's talking, you know, about the sky. And also, too, more specifically, that these people started to worship the images that they would draw amongst the stars. We know them now as constellations. Or, God forbid, you're picking up the newspaper and reading your horoscope. Do yourself a favor and stop reading that nonsense. All right, but if you want to go to the Bible times where all that started, well, you're looking at it right here. And so they started to worship the astrological signs, and they said, come, let us build a tower that reaches up closer to the stars. They thought that they would, you know, worship these images that they would draw with the stars. And they said, let us make a name for ourselves unless we be scattered over the whole earth. Now, this should really, you know, get our attention here. All right, because God had already told them, if you've read the book of Genesis, he told them he wanted them to scatter upon the earth. And so humanity, they're saying, no, let's gather here together. We're going to have our own system of worship. We're not going to do what God said. We're going to do things our own way. We're going to worship the way we want. And so they were being disobedient to God by building this tower. Now, you know here that that tower became known as what? The Tower of Babel. And we're going to talk about this. This is the beginning, you know, of false religion. This is the beginning of pagan religion that seeks to fight against God and to disagree with the Bible. When man wants to worship things other than the Creator, all right? It's nothing new. It's going on in the days and times that we live in, all right? And so they said, let's make a name for ourselves. See, they didn't want to be known by God's name. They wanted to be known for themselves. They were selfish. They were self-absorbed. They were trying to rebel against God. They did not want to be scattered. They wanted to stay together. And they wanted their own forms of worship. Sound familiar today to any of us, right? That sounds what people want to do today. Folks, we don't worship the way we want. I hear that all the time as a pastor. People tell me that all the time. Pastor, I've got my own way of worship. Well, let me tell you this. Ooh, boy, I'm going to say something real. Here we go. Your own way, if it doesn't match God's way, your own way of worship stinks to God. Stinks to him. He is not interested in what you think of. He's not interested. Oh, well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I don't say that to make God sound mean, because you know what? God is not mean. God does not want us to choose our own ways. He knows. The Bible says his thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above his ways. He doesn't want you to stay in your way, because our way will get us hurt. His way will get us blessed. He's not doing that to be mean. He's trying to help us. Amen. And so they rebelled against God. They're creating this tower of false worship. They're building it themselves. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men built. So God takes a look at this. How many of you know God considers all of our ways? He's always looking at how we're building. How are we building this church? What principles are we using to build this church? How are we building our home? You know what I mean? I'm not talking about the physical building. I'm talking about, what are the principles that control your house? You know, what are the ways and the means that you use? Do you have a godly household? Do you do things God's way? And so God is always looking at how man builds things. He looks at nations. How are we building this nation? Well, we used to be more built on God than we are now, you know, and God will hold this nation accountable. How are we living our personal lives? How are we building in our personal lives? He says, let's go and take a look at this tower that the sons of men had built. And then in verse 6, it says, and the Lord said, now look at verse 6. Everyone just, you know, let this sink in deep. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people and they all have one language. Everyone say one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. That verse is so huge, Because we now see in the early chapters of Genesis why our words matter so much. Because he even told these people that were in disobedience. He said, look it, they all have the same language, and now they are all together and unified in that way, and now nothing will be impossible for them because they all are going to say the same things and do the same things. Language is very, very powerful. Amen. Notice God said himself, he said, if they keep speaking that way, nothing will be impossible to them. Meaning God said, if I don't do something about this, they're going to create a pagan form of worship that's going to lead many human beings astray because they just kept saying it and saying it and saying it. Folks, we cannot underestimate the power of language. So look at verse 7. God says, come, let us, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, let us go down and there confound or mix up or confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. And so the Lord scattered them abroad from that place upon the face of the earth. And they gave up building the city or the tower. Therefore, the name of it was called Babel, or what we call the Tower of Babel, because there the Lord confounded the language of all the earth, and from that place the Lord scattered them abroad the face of the whole earth. And so this is the beginning of multiple human languages, all right? Wow. Notice it wasn't their talent that was going to make everything possible to them. You know, it wasn't, you know, their money that was going to, you know, give them the ability to, you know, do anything they set their hearts to. It was their language, meaning the way they spoke. Folks, the battle between good and evil in this life is a battle of who controls the words that people speak. Absolutely, 100%. Everything that is going on in this world, good or bad, is all controlled by the words that people speak. All right, we see this here in the book of Genesis. It was from a negative standpoint, right? Meaning if they would have kept going along that way, if God did not interrupt their language, they would have done something that would have been very harmful. The same is true today. Why do you think that, getting right down to it, if you want to, you know, say it the way it is, you know, why do you think demonic forces are such demanding when getting in control of our media today? Why is the media so against God, so against the Bible, against Jesus Christ? Because the devil knows whoever controls words is going to control the future or the direction of this nation. Absolutely, the direction of people's lives. Why does God want us in church every week getting his word into our lives? Because the right words will control our destiny for him. Amen. Amen. Why do we tell people about Jesus? Why do we, you know, put out as much as we can about God's word? Because his words need to get into the lives of the people to, you know, carry them in the direction that God wants them to go. Amen. The battle in good and evil in this world, in our lives, comes down to what words are spoken. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I wanted to show you this. And then in verse 10, it starts to go into the histories, but we don't need to go into that. But I wanted to show you the scripture about the Tower of Babel, because we see and we know that God understands the power of language. Hold on to this truth, because later on in the message, we're going to come full circle. All right. Go with me to Romans. Go to Romans chapter 10. Have you ever been in Romans chapter 10 before? Is there any scriptures in Romans chapter 10 that are familiar to you? Go over there to Romans chapter 10, and let's go to verse 8. Again, a familiar passage of scripture. Let's look at this process and how it pertains to us. Do we have anybody in here tonight that you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior? Yes. Okay, 5 of you. Praise the Lord. We're going to have a wonderful altar call tonight. Amen. We're just going to get you all born again. You're all going to be going to heaven after tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's jump into this. I'm back in the Amplified again. You know, I've been doing a lot of studying in the Amplified. I like the Amplified. It's very wordy. Just like me, right? Just like me. Says a lot of words. That's okay. I will have you out of here before 10:30 p.m., I promise. Glory to God. All right. Not a minute more. Let's look at this. Romans 10:8. And we're reading in the Amplified. It says, but what does it say? Or literally, what does God's word say? Isn't that a good question? Well, he's going to answer it right here. It says, the word, God's message in Christ, is near you. It is on your lips and in your heart. That is the word, the message, the basis and object of faith which we preach. Or literally, the spoken word of faith. So what does the Bible say? God's word says that every single one of us, the message of Christ, the message of salvation, the freedom from hell and eternal punishment, amen, is where? It is on your lips and it is in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach, okay? Where's God's message? It is on your lips and in your heart. Where this is the two functions, the two places where the word of God must exist if faith is going to be present. You cannot just say, well, I've got faith in my heart. Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 12, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, he said, we having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. When people just say, oh, trust me, God is in my heart. I know you never hear it from me. You can't tell. Folks, I'm here to tell you, and this is hard to say, but it's true. That's a lie. That's a lie. To just say, well, I just keep to myself. I never say it. I never proclaim it. I don't release my faith. I don't show my faith. Well, I'm here to tell you, for faith to be God's way, it must exist in two places, in your lips, right, or spoken out of your mouth, and in your heart. Amen. Now look at this, verse 9. He says this. It says, because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips, or literally, let's say it this way, but if you will speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart, if you will believe and adhere, trust in and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you what? Shall be saved. Glory to God. If you will speak with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord, and if you will believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will receive eternal life. Amen. How many of you have received that eternal life before? All right. And so we're very familiar with this process. Notice we don't get saved because, you know, we went to church enough. But how many of you know the Bible tells us to go to church because God is trying to get his word into our lives? And we're going to talk about this. Now, that's down there, and we're going to keep going to verse 10. It says, for with the heart a person believes and trusts and relies on Christ, and so is justified and declared righteous and acceptable to God. And with the mouth he confesses, he declares and speaks out freely his faith, and confirms his salvation. I like that. Don't you like that? Out of the mouth, we declare and openly speak freely our faith. Or I like how the King James says, we speak. Can you bring it up in the King James Version? I love how it just says this. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. All right. That word salvation is also the Greek word for healing. It is also the Greek word for peace. All right. It is also, it means deliverance. All right. Preservation. All right. So when you believe in your heart and you speak with your mouth, obviously something happens. Now go down to verse 14. I'm setting us up here. It says, but how are the people, I'm back in the Amplified, but how are people to call upon Christ whom they have not believed in, whom they have no faith, or whom they have no reliance? And how are they to believe in Christ and trust and rely on him, of whom they have never heard? How are they to hear without a preacher? The word preacher means a proclaimer. Look at verse 15. And how can men be expected to preach unless they are sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings. How welcome is the coming of those who preach the good news of his good things. Amen. Praise God. Folks, do you see this process that God has designed in these scriptures? Do you see how God has set it up to change your life and to change my life? He said, he sends preachers. He sends messengers with divine truth, with divine words, to speak and proclaim these things to our ears. We then believe these things in our heart, or hope starts to swell in our heart, and then it comes to a place where we believe it, we become confident in our belief, and then we speak it out of our mouth, and then we get born again. Isn't that how we get saved, right? Right? We heard the truth about Jesus, we believed it in our heart, we spoke it out of our mouth, and at that moment, the Holy Spirit started to recreate us. Folks, we need to understand this. God has designed this process. He sends messengers, preachers, with divine words. They speak these words, and we hear them, and something is created in our hearts. We call it faith. Amen. It creates hope. And hope swells in our hearts, and then we choose to believe it. Then we speak it, and the Holy Spirit starts the creating process. Think about what happened when you confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. When you spoke out of your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believed it in your heart, the creating process began. The Holy Ghost took your words and started to recreate you before God the Father. Think about this. Amen. So when you spoke, the Holy Spirit created a brand new child of God. He created a saint out of a sinner. He created a new destiny from hell to heaven. Amen. He created a new seed of Abraham. He created a new heir of the covenant. He created another joint heir with Christ, a recipient of the promises. Amen. He created a brand new part of the body of Christ. He created an authority holder out of a weakling, because that's all of us. That's all what we were before Jesus. He gave you the authority of his name. He gave you the blood of Jesus. Amen. He created an overcomer out of the defeated. Hallelujah. Amen. And he made a master where there was once a slave. Amen. We were all slaves to sin, the Bible says. Aren't you glad he did that all in the moment, because the word of God got into your heart and you spoke it out and the Holy Ghost said, I can work with those words. Because they believed and because they spoke, I can start recreating them in the image of God. I can bring them into the covenant of promise. I can redeem them. I can turn their destiny from hell to heaven, from being defeated to being an overcomer, from being weak to becoming what the Bible says is a conqueror. Hallelujah. All that happened because you spoke. You believed in your heart and you spoke, and the Holy Ghost started creating what you said. He took your words of faith and he created that in your heart. And so now this is the process that we're supposed to live by all the time. God sends a messenger. He sends a preacher to give divine word and instruction. And we hear that word weekly. And that word every week will create hope. It'll create faith in our hearts. And then we speak differently. We act differently. And the Holy Ghost is waiting on my words and your words so he can start the creating process in your life by what you say. Are you here tonight? Amen. We should love this process. See, when people just say, well, I just gotta go to church. No, this is the designed process that God put in his word to hear divine words so we know what to speak, what to say, because the Holy Ghost is going to get to work creating what comes out of our mouth by faith. Absolutely. Amen. That's why the Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Yeah. Hallelujah. God's going to create. He says, I create, where is that over there? Where is that verse? Brother Stephen or somebody, I'm sure you know. Isaiah 57, 19-ish. He's going to find it for us. Try that one. Try Isaiah. We'll see how right or wrong I am. No, but that's a good one. That's a good verse. That's probably why I was thinking of it. Where is that? He says, I will create the fruit. Oh, is that the right one? It is the right one. Hallelujah. Gold star for the pastor, right? See, I saw it in the Amplified. Bring it up in the King James. That's why I didn't recognize it right at first. See, there's that wordy Amplified again. I create the fruit of the lips, God says. I create the fruit of your lips. All of a sudden, other verses are coming to me. What about Joshua 1:8? How about Joshua 1:8? He says, I create the fruit of the lips. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. Why? Because the word of God did not cease from proceeding out of their mouth. Amen. The Holy Ghost needs our words to work with. If God knew the power of language and how it could do harm back there at the Tower of Babel, doesn't he also know how it could have the power to do good? Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of you would say that the new birth has changed your lives? When you got born again, amen. Glory to God. He was looking, you know, the Holy Ghost was just waiting to change your destiny, correct your course, take you in a new creation. Take you in a new direction. Let me say it this way. What does the Holy Ghost want to create in your life right now? What does he want to do? He's waiting on your words so he can move into your life. Amen. What would it look like if we started speaking, you know, about our children? Or what if we started using words of faith, you know, about our health in our bodies? What if we started to use words of faith for our marriage? Amen. What does the Holy Ghost want to create around you and within you? Amen. He is waiting on our words. He is waiting on us to speak. Notice, there's people that are driving by this building tonight, many of whom do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But notice this, the Holy Ghost is just anxiously waiting to hear the words of faith coming out of their mouth so he can recreate them into a child of God. We're no longer God's enemy. We're now his children, right? Amen. That happened instantly when the Holy Ghost recreated you into his image. This is the process. We come into the house of God. We hear his word. Faith gets into our heart and we start speaking different, acting different. And the Holy Ghost now has something to create in our lives. Amen. What is he waiting to create around you? What else is he waiting to do in your life that will make Christ known to everybody around you? Amen. Notice you've got to give the Holy Ghost permission. The Holy Ghost is not going to just barge into your life. He's not going to force blessing on you. He's not going to give you influence until your words are right. Amen. Go to Acts chapter 1. Go to Acts chapter 1. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says the power of life and death, you know, is in the tongue. You know, God tells us over there, you know, I've set before you blessing and cursing. You know, life and death. And he says, choose life. Yeah. Folks, you do know that God does not act randomly. You know, so many people, they just think, well, folks, you know what the biggest, are you ready for this? If I've not made you mad already, I'm going to make you mad right now. The biggest lie that all of us have said at one point in our lives, we've said this, God moves in mysterious ways. What a bunch of religious trash that is. God has told us exactly what moves him, exactly what he's going to do. No, our minds cannot handle and process everything that God does. We're not saying that our minds can, but I'm here to tell you, spiritually, the Bible says we can discern those things spiritually. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. These things are processed by the Holy Spirit within our heart, and we can know and understand exactly what God's doing. People say, I have no idea. And what they mean when they say that, well, maybe God will do this today. Maybe he won't. He's so random. I'll tell you what, God is not up there with a bingo ball counter and just hope like your number comes up today. God's not playing bingo. And I'm not saying that against anybody that goes to church and plays bingo. All right. I'm just saying God is not some random lottery guy. He knows exactly what he wants to do. He knows exactly how he wants his people to interact with him. He tells us exactly what he wants us to say so that it will give him license to move upon our lives. Amen. Go to Acts 1. Hallelujah. People, you know, so many times they don't have purpose in their lives because their words have no purpose. Jesus said down there, where is that? Right around Matthew 12, 35, 34, and 35. He said, for every idle word you speak will be held into the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. Can we bring up that scripture? We didn't plan on preaching that. Try Matthew 12, 34. The Holy Ghost will speak to me in light of the scripture, but the brain has to remember the chapter and verse. Oh, he's talking not to you and I. He's talking to the Pharisees here. He says, oh, generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things with his words. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Look at verse 36. We're going to get to it. But I say to you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. See, an idle word is a word spoken without any purpose. It's foolish words, you know, it's profane words. But if we will speak with purpose, I mean, God said, if you'll speak out of the treasure of his word in your heart, it'll bring forth good things in your life. And not just you, by the way. For those around you. Amen. Go to Acts chapter 1. Have you found it over there? No? Go to Acts chapter 1. Go to verse 4. I'm going to bring this up in the King James just so we can read it a little faster. Go to Acts 1:4. God knows the power of language. The Holy Ghost uses your words. Oh, absolutely. Here we go. Acts 1:4, and it says this, Jesus speaking, this is after Jesus' resurrection. He is now on the earth after his resurrection, but he has not yet ascended back into heaven. And Jesus says this, it says, in being assembled together with them, it's with his disciples, there's others there. It says this, Jesus commanded them. Everyone say commanded. He didn't suggest it. He didn't recommend it. He commanded it. You know, that's interesting. And we talked about this last week. And there was up to 500 or 600 people that were actually given this commandment. But yet only 120 of them showed up. Why is that? And they saw Jesus there alive. They saw him alive from the dead, and they still weren't interested. Isn't it amazing? The things that people will put in front of God. Isn't it amazing the things that people are more interested in than they are the power of God? You know, the devil's in this world just saying at everything, look at this. Look at this. Look at over here. You'll have more fun doing this. Don't go to church. Don't pray. Don't read your Bible. Life is more fun if you just do this other stuff. Well, that even happened back then, and people saw Jesus alive, and they still didn't show up. Folks, who's going to be interested in God in this generation? Who's going to be interested? I'm interested. I'm interested. Lord, I'm interested. Amen. He says, he was assembled together with them. Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me. Jesus says, for John the Baptist, truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. You know, there's a lot of Christian groups that say that baptism in water is the same as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It can't be. Jesus just distinguished the two of them. He says, John baptized with water, but I, Jesus, baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now he says in verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked Jesus, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put into his own power. Jesus said, don't be more interested in political things than what God's trying to do right now. And I got on that soapbox last week. We don't need to get on it again this week, right? But look what Jesus said. But you shall receive, everyone say that word with me, power. You shall receive power. Notice the power wasn't in the politics. It wasn't. Nothing wrong with participating. Believe me, I'm going to participate. I'm praying for this election. I say it 1,000 times. People get mad at me. Boy, I've had people get so mad at me. They get so mad at me. So mad at me that I just think I'm going to say it again. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I am not a political teacher. Preachers are not supposed to be. Men and women of God are supposed to proclaim the truth, and the church does not join political parties. We're supposed to hold political parties accountable regardless of what side they're on. Oh, goodness. And so many Christians today, they're more wrapped up in what political things are happening when they should have been more interested in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. But you shall receive power after that you participate in the election. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses. That means it is evident to everyone around you that God is on your life. Amen. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. They were going to go out. They were going to preach the word of salvation. They were going to heal the sick. Right?
Yes.
Amen. And so Jesus said, you will receive power. Folks, how did that power arrive? What did it look like when the baptism of the Spirit came upon these first century Christians? Go over to Acts chapter 2. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at here? Hold on, I'm going to bring it all full circle here. And this is what people do not understand. Why we have today in our nation and around the world, we have different denominations, some that receive this, some that don't believe it. Some say that it passed away at some point in the past. Some that think it's craziness, but here's the truth. Go to Acts 2:1, please. Let's bring this up. I'm in the King James. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Everyone say heaven. What is about to happen is not of the devil. It's completely of God. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, or literally flames that looked like fire, and it sat upon each of them. There was 120 of them there. And they were all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. So this is what Jesus said is the promise of the Father. Why would God's promise only be to them and not to you and me? It isn't just for them. It is for you and me. The Holy Ghost wasn't just for, you know, them. It was for all of us that are born again. And actually, at the end of Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up and he says that very thing. For it's for you and to all that are afar off. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Uh-oh, we're going to have to say the dreaded T word in church. Christians don't like this word. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and then began to speak with other what? Tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So when the power showed up, how did it show up? It showed up not in talent. It did not show up in money. It showed up in divinely granted language. Wow. I'm going to say it again. Jesus said, you will receive power. And through this power, you will be witnesses. through this power, people will see God on your life. It's not because you go around speaking in tongues to everybody. You don't just walk up to somebody speaking in tongues, but that was a gift from God to increase our strength spiritually. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, so they were baptized just like Jesus said they would be. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And if you keep on reading in Acts chapter 2, all the people that were gathered around in Jerusalem started to hear the wonderful works of God in their own language. Meaning that people from all over the world that were there in Jerusalem for the festival of Pentecost, they were from all different nations with all different languages. And you say, well, see, Pastor, then that means that the Spirit of God was just giving them the ability to speak human languages. No, that's not what it says. It says that when they were speaking in tongues, God interpreted it into the ears of those from different nations, and they heard the wonderful works of God. And then others just accused them of speaking drunk gibberish, which a lot of us have been accused of doing at some point or another. If you're, you know, a tongue-talking Christian, you know, you'll get attacked and be criticized and things like that. But Jesus says, this is power. Folks, whenever any group, a denomination, when they try to set their doctrine against speaking in tongues, it's because they have a shallow understanding of how God uses words and language. Go back to Genesis, don't turn there, but remember Genesis chapter 11? He said those wicked people were trying to disobey him, and he said that they would have nothing impossible to them if they all had the same language. Well, God was just doing on the day of Pentecost, he was doing this for the good. He was giving us an opportunity to speak divine words. When God filled them with the Holy Ghost was giving them a divinely granted language to speak out, to pray it out. Folks, this is what tongues is. Real quickly, can you bring up 1 Corinthians 14:14? Say, oh, Pastor, what are you preaching on here? I'm talking about the power of words. You say, well, can it just be words in my known language, just speaking things out in English? Yes, that's absolutely true. If you want to go even further or deeper with God, I want to show you what Pentecost is about. Because so many Christians, they get hung up on the way tongues sounds. They get weirded out and they think it's strange. But folks, if we knew, you know, how God looks at language, we won't be so spooked out by it. Look what Paul said. He says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Can you bring it up in the Amplified? Look what God does. Folks, I'm bringing all this up to show you how the Holy Ghost wants to work with you, with your words. He wants to work with you, with your words. Yes, both in your known language, which I think our language is evident, it's English, but he wants to also work in unknown tongues, which is a heavenly language. Paul said this, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. Wow. I don't know why that doesn't sound really appealing to God's people. I don't know about you. I want to pray. I want the Holy Spirit within me to pray. I want to sit down with me, the Holy Ghost, in the Word of God, and I want to pray out things by the Spirit. Yes, it says your mind will be unproductive. But what will the Holy Ghost start creating in your life when you start speaking the right words, both in your known language and other tongues? And if you're here tonight and you say, well, Pastor, I've never spoken in tongues. I'd love to get baptized with the Spirit, and I'd like to have this experience that those early Christians had. Well, come and let us know. Praise the Lord. We'll lay hands on you. We'll get you filled with the Spirit. And the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost is to speak in other tongues. It's not the only evidence. Look at verse 15, if you could bring that up too, since we're there. He says, what am I to do then? I will pray with my spirit. Notice Paul did not have to wait for God to do that for him. One of the biggest misconceptions about praying in tongues is that Christians think that they just have to wait until the Holy Spirit gives them a euphoric feeling before they pray out in tongues. No, Paul, the apostle, says, what do I do? He says, I will pray with my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me. And I will also pray intelligently with my mind, meaning our own natural language. Just like I can make a decision right now to pray in English, I could also make the decision right now to pray in tongues. I don't pray in tongues publicly unless it's going to be interpreted or unless we were in a prayer meeting or something like that, right? You understand the Bible gives us those boundaries and so on. And then he says, I will pray intelligently with my mind and my understanding. He said, I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me. You can sing in other tongues. You can. Yes. And it's wonderful. You say, well, Pastor, you know, we don't, you know, it's not for public service. Well, I mean, there's times, obviously, there's believers' meetings and so on. I'm not going to go into all that. But wouldn't you want to have a rich fellowship with God? I mean, what does it look like when you and the Holy Ghost are fellowshipping and you're singing in the Spirit? It's wonderful. Well, Pastor, I just don't believe that because I believe that tongues have ceased. Yeah, you're right. There's some kind of expiration date on the Bible somewhere. You know, milk goes bad. Cottage cheese goes bad. Dairy products go bad. But the word doesn't ever go bad. It is for us. If you are born again with the Spirit of God, I'm here to tell you, this is for you. People get mad and say, well, Pastor, you're saying that if I don't pray in tongues that I'm not saved. Did I say that? No, I don't say that because the Bible doesn't say that. There's a lot of Christians that are going to go to heaven who never had that experience of praying in the Spirit with their Heavenly Father by the Holy Ghost. But it was for them. It was available. The question is, who's interested? Who's interested? Can you bring up 1 Corinthians 14:2 right in that same chapter? He tells us more benefits. For one who speaks in unknown tongues, one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. So obviously these unknown tongues, they're called unknown for a reason because it's not something that people understand. So therefore it's not speaking Spanish or Chinese or German or French when you didn't know those languages. It's speaking an unknown divine tongue. For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no man or no person understands or catches his meaning. Folks, if I start praying in tongues right now, you're not going to understand one thing. The scripture tells me to preach intelligently before you. I don't stand up and preach in tongues, right? But when you're praying, when you're seeking God, when you're fellowshipping with him, what a wonderful thing it is. No man understands or catches his meaning because in the Holy Spirit, this unknown tongues business is directly connected to the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Spirit, you utter secret truths and hidden things not obvious to your understanding. Is there anybody in here that knows everything? Carrie Huck, everybody. I'm just, she was, you know, we, praise the Lord. You know, thought I was going a different direction with that statement, right? None of us know everything. Is there a lot of things that are not obvious to your understanding? The King James says mysteries. Is there a lot of things that are, do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? The only thing that I know is going to happen tonight is that I'm going to finish this sermon at about 10 p.m., and then I'm going to hurry up to Chick-fil-A, but they're going to be closed by then. You know, we do not know what even tomorrow is going to bring, but he does. Does the Holy Ghost know what the enemy is going to try to do in your family tomorrow? Yeah. What a benefit. What if you and the Holy Ghost already prayed that out? What if your mind didn't understand it? You had no natural knowledge of it, but because you prayed and you fellowship with the Holy Ghost. And see, when Christians, they say, oh, that tongue's business. It stopped in the past. It's historically inaccurate. Of course, the devil wants you to believe all that. That's trying to disconnect you from the power of making all things possible. Remember the language in the Tower of Babel? God looked at those evil people and said, if I don't stop them, nothing's going to be impossible to them because they understand the power of language. The Holy Ghost came to give power to the church. And he gave that power in the form of language. He didn't increase our talents. Listen, you can be a rotten singer before you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Guess what? You can be a rotten one after you get filled with the Holy Ghost, right? You could be, bad at sports. You could be uncoordinated before you get filled. You can be uncoordinated after you get filled. But I tell you what, when you do get filled, you will have a whole new dimension of communicating with God. Hallelujah. For one that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit, he's praying, he's uttering, he's speaking out secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Amen. Glory to God. Think about all the things that we don't know. But think about this. Think about all the things he does know. Think about, what does the Holy Spirit know? Oh my goodness, knows everything. So the more I spend time praying in the Spirit, you know, remember he called this praying in the Spirit. You can bring up Jude verse 20. We'll just show you some other verses. Well, this went a different direction. I had a whole nother passage here. Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, build yourselves up. How many of you know God wants to build you up? He wants you to work on it. Notice, isn't that interesting? The building process is yours. If you want to make yourself stronger in God, that's your job, not God's job. But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress, rise like an edifice higher and higher, doing what? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, Paul told us what praying in the Holy Spirit is. He said, in the Spirit, you speak mysteries when you pray in other tongues. Praise the Lord. There's so many scriptures all throughout the Bible that tell us these things, what happen when we have this divine language. Why does God, when he wanted to bring power to the church, the Holy Ghost came in the form of language? That should really speak to us. Why? Number one, the things that we say with our natural mouth. Just the things that we say in our known language. If you're that person that is always saying, you know, woe to me, bad things always happen to me, I'm the one that always gets sick first, I'm miserable, I'm not happy. If that's the way you're going to talk, guess what? That's what you're going to have. Because the Bible says your words are the seeds of your future. Death and life are in the power of your mouth. You know, the Bible also says over there in Proverbs 15:4, I love the Amplified version, it says the wholesome tongue is a tree of life with its healing power. Well, that's again, Proverbs 16:24. It says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and strength to the bones. Your body will respond to your words. You understand that? God is waiting for you to receive the Holy Ghost, to pray in these unknown tongues, to have that fellowship, and people have tried to badmouth it. Of course the devil would want to badmouth it. You know why the devil wants to badmouth it? Because he doesn't understand it. He wants to disconnect you from that power. Amen. Folks, you get anything out of this here tonight? Number one, what you say with your known language. Folks, I shouldn't have to tell born-again believers that it's wrong to use profane language. We'll end right here. Just in the King James, can you bring up Ephesians 4:29? We'll just read it. We'll read it. Our words matter. Can you bring it up in the King James so I don't have to read a book here before we close? it's wordy. It's even wordier than I am. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Whoa. but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Think about what happens when we start fighting with each other in our houses. Think about what happens when we start criticizing our spouse. You're good for nothing. You never do this. You never do this right. You never do that right. That's corrupt communication. Four-letter words, profane language, that's corrupt communication. It says, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Here's why it matters. Look at verse 30. We'll end right here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The word grieve, it means to get saddened. It means to be displeased or vexed, or literally upset. Notice the Holy Ghost is watching over everything we say. Everything we say. And when he hears us complaining, it saddens him. When he hears us, you know, swearing and cussing, it grieves him, makes him sad. Yeah. When he hears us fighting, criticizing, and gossiping against other people, it saddens him. And if the Holy Ghost is saddened, there's no way he can move in your life. The Holy Ghost is either limited or unlimited by what you say. Amen. Did you get something out of this here tonight? Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we just love you and praise you. Father, we understand, you know, of course, one sermon would not be enough to get us to fully understand how important language is. Father, we saw tonight that at the Tower of Babel, you scattered them because they had one language and because what they began to do, nothing would have been impossible for them. And so you confounded their language. And as soon as they lost the power of language, their plan fell apart. But Lord, you brought it full circle and you understand the power of language. And so that's exactly what you gave to the church at Pentecost. For those that will receive it, for those that will believe it, for those that will practice and be doers of it. Father, we'll seek you and we'll fellowship together. Yes, in our known language. Yes, we'll watch our words in our known language. Father, we should know by now that we're not supposed to cuss and swear. Father, we should know by now we're not supposed to lie and gossip. Father, we should know by now that we're not supposed to backbite and attack people with our words, to insult people and to maliciously attack them. But Father, we got to take another step further into the Holy Spirit, that we can know and understand that we can pray out mysteries, that we can take time to fellowship in that deep and rich language that comes from the Holy Ghost. That we can pray out mysteries, that we can fellowship and know you. Lord, we bless you. We glorify you. Father, I pray for each one here tonight. That Lord, if there be those in our midst that have never been baptized with the Holy Ghost, Father, I pray that you would kindle that desire and touch their heart with that, not just a curiosity, but a pursuit for spiritual things. And Lord, you will remind us of when we've spoken wrong. Lord, we do not want corrupt communication proceeding out of our mouth, and we do not want to grieve the Holy Ghost. Father, we just bless you. We glorify you tonight. With all eyes closed, with every head bowed before we're dismissed, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Tonight, I was over in Romans chapter 10, and we looked at verses 9 and 10. It says that if you'll speak or declare with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. God wants to move into your life, but he cannot until your words are right, until words of faith come out of your heart and are spoken out of your mouth. The Holy Spirit is just waiting to recreate you into a child of God. It's not about our church. It's not about our ways. It's about His ways. This isn't our idea, it's God's idea. And if you're here tonight and you've never confessed Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, eyes are closed, heads are bowed, I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to point you out, meaning I'm not going to make everybody look at you or anything like that. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. And if you're here and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to be saved. I want to know that I have eternal life. I want to know that I'm a child of God. I want to know that my sins are forgiven and that if today was my last day on this earth, that I'd be in heaven. If that's you, and if you know you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, you'll just hear me say you can put it down. And then what I'll do is I'll lead the entire congregation in the prayer. And right there in your seat, you can pray. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, could you just take that quick moment and put your hand up? Is there anyone that wants to jump in on this prayer and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior? I know sometimes people are shy. They're not quite sure what the preacher will do when they lift their hand. Well, it's real simple. You'll just hear me say, I see that hand. You can put it down. That's all I'm going to do. Then I'm going to lead us all in the prayer. And all of us will pray. Anybody before we pray? That would say, Pastor, I need Jesus. Father God, I don't see any hands. So Lord, I trust that everybody here is walking with you. They know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Father, I thank you for this church family. Lord, it's an honor to be part of it. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that, Lord, that you feed us every day. Thank you, Lord God, so much for our families, our homes. We have nothing good apart from you. Thank you, Father, for providing for us. Thank you, Lord God, for being our healer and our strength. You're all things to us every day. And Lord, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Did you get some help here tonight? Hey, we're learning the word. Let's go ahead and just give God the praise and we'll be dismissed. Father God, we praise you tonight. We thank you. We glorify you. Father, I just command your hand of blessing upon each one. And Father, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.